Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and it's back to our regular people. We got Kyle and we got Brett for the first time in a long time. We got Brett back. Welcome back, Brett.
I'm back.
I'll be back. But you are back.
Yeah, so we're excited to have Brett back on for the first time in a while, and we wanted to give him a chance to share a little bit about what's been going on. So, Brett, how have you been doing? What's been going on? What's the Lord been showing you?
There's been a lot that's been going on. It's funny because I've listened to the podcast. My wife has listened. Obviously, we heard you guys share and mention me a couple of times. And it's weird because it's almost like it sounds like I don't see you guys or still talk to you guys. But no, it's good to be back and here with you guys. So I switched jobs, went on vacation, and through all of those changes, definitely have seen God's hand and just opportunities and doors that he's opening. With work, I'm working for my uncle at Rotech, so shout out to my Uncle Ralph. And just helping, right now I'm just learning a lot. It's a whole different area and field of work, learning how to their processes and their assembly lines and, you know, all the shipping and receiving and the different parts and things that need to get certified and just everything that comes with it. I'm learning everything, and so it's a lot more mentally tiring than I thought because I'm trying to learn, right? And I'm like, a lot of this stuff matters. I have to remember. People are asking me like, hey, we need this, or how do you do this? And I'm like, I'm still learning, so let me figure that out and I'll get back to you. But it's been good. Shout out to Eric Kai. Eric Kai works there too, so get to talk to Eric, and then my cousin has started working there, and so it's been cool to have those opportunities to talk about stuff. Like Eric and I have talked about church stuff while we're at work. We're always talking about LA sports, so that's a common conversation, and so hours are different. I can't complain too much, but my commute is probably like 500 times, 500% greater.
That's true. You couldn't have gotten any shorter than what you had before,
I know.
Right?
And so, but overall things have been good. Things have been good, at work, still new. And so I'm still in the phases of growing and learning and, just building my, comfort level with helping manage things and work through the process of building bus bars and electrical components. And so it's a whole different thing than t-shirts, but there is some overlap. There is some overlap. And so some of the skills that I've learned here from Damon and just the process and product management and having to order and know what things are out, when things are due, it shifts to a bigger scale over there, but it was definitely helpful. And then I got to go on vacation, my wife and I and a couple of other friends. We actually went to Italy. And so to be completely honest, I'm not the super go type when it comes to vacation. And so I did mentally, emotionally, and not so much physically prepare, but it was a really good time. And I think whenever I see historical things, because we went to Rome, you see things like paintings and art, and some of it after a certain while I'm like, okay, I feel like I've seen the same thing over and over, but just to fathom like the people in the past, what they were able to do. And a lot of it, you know, when you see, it seems natural, like the ruins and just historical sites, I'm like, how does all of this, you know, come together, or were they able to do it? 'Cause I'm like, I feel like modern day it'd be difficult to even just figure that stuff out. And so a lot of it too is there is a religious background to a lot of it. And so, you know, finding the ones that were interesting of how they painted Jesus, or, you know, there's a lot of the same thing of him as a baby with Virgin Mary, or like him on the cross. There's just a bunch of different paintings and reiterations and things like that. And so it's cool to point out ones that I felt like stood out to me. I don't remember the names of them because they are also in Italian, but there's just certain cool ones that like depicted the whole book of Genesis in little like pictures or little frames or different things like that. And so the trip wasn't super restful because we were walking a ton, but it was a really good time to just spend time with Brittany and with our friends and just somewhere else in God's creation and see other people across the world. And so jumping right back into the busyness though, I forced myself to just jump right into it. So I, right after we came back on a Wednesday, I went straight to work the next day and then jumped into First Friday on that Friday and was just like, I'm just, just going into it. But it's been good to get back into my routine. And it's just another way that I've been able to be very thankful for God's provision. And so that's been a consistent theme that I know my wife and I have been focusing on for, ever since we got married, just continuing to see the way that the Lord provides as we've journeyed through unknown territory of marriage and all that it has to come. And so this is another opportunity where we are just very thankful for God's provision to be able to take a trip like this, for work to let me, for ministry to let me. And so just all the people that help cover or whatever it is, we're very thankful.
Yeah, I think it is a blessing when you have the opportunity to go to a different culture. So it's cool to be able to travel into the U.S. and different parts, and you get some different aspects of what the U.S. is like, and that's an experience. But to go international and just be immersed in a different culture, I think you get to see the blessings of what we have and the way we do things, but then you get to see other ways that other people like operate and like, oh, I kind of like that too. Like that's a different way than we do it. So, yeah, those are special opportunities.
Yeah, and I could tell one story, because in my mindset of traveling too, I think before I would be very like, I don't care to talk to anybody. Like I'm never gonna see them again, or I'm just gonna focus on myself. And people are worried when you go over there about like pickpocketers, and so like be very defensive and whatnot. Which thankfully we didn't run into any of that, but I think for a good time now, it's like, okay, how do I, especially with our church, right, want to be a sea on a hill, like how do I like step into that or be a light to others? And this is like, going across the world. And so there was a lady who we had to get to our plane, we had to actually like take a bus and then walk outside and then walk up the steps to the plane. And so there's this woman who I wasn't asking her because she looked old per se, but when I asked her like, oh, like I'll carry your carry-on for you up the stairs. And she's like, is it because I look old? And she kind of laughed. And I was like, no, like I asked my wife if she wanted me to carry hers and she said no. So I figured I'd ask somebody else to help them. And she's like, well, that's very kind of you. And she just felt very appreciative of it. But actually on the trip, we needed to get something vacuum sealed to try to take it back here. And when we were at the little mart where we could buy cheese and meat and different things, we asked them to vacuum seal it, but they didn't vacuum seal one of the things. So there's this whole hoopla of trying to go back to it, but they were closed. We went somewhere to ask someone in the market if they could do it where their deli was, and the guys told us no, but then you can ask somebody else. So we were just like, we tried like four spots. So we're walking back and the rest of our friends are trying to help us. And I was like, I don't want to waste your guys' time. Like, I'll just go tomorrow morning, or Brittany and I will just go tomorrow morning. And they're like, no, like, it's fine. Like, we have some time. And so we happened to stop into this, walking by one of the markets. There was this deli and the guy looked like he was closing up. And so I just said, they said, why don't you go ask him? I said, oh, excuse me. Like, we bought this. We asked them to vacuum seal it. They forgot. Do you happen to have a vacuum sealer? Could you do it? And he goes, oh, I was just closing up. If you had come just a minute or two later, like I would have been closed, but I do have a vacuum sealer. Like what size is it? And so I showed him. And then he was like, oh yeah, I think I have something that will work. So he's like, sorry, I don't use my vacuum sealer every day. So sometimes I don't even have it here, or I don't even use it, but I could do it for you. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. All of our friends were like, you are such a blessing. Like, thank you so much. And I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything. And so I was talking to Brittany. He's like, no, we should just pay him for his time and staying open. And so we paid him. He's like, no, I didn't even do anything. And I told him, like, no, you're an answered prayer. I told him, like, you're a blessing. Thank you for being so generous and for allowing us. And he was just like, really? Because even there, I think the culture is not to tip or to get extra. And so I just felt like saying a couple words to speak into him and just tell him, like, even in this little act, being thankful. And I could tell he really like didn't want to receive the money, but just like for us to notice him and to see him and just to be thankful and friendly. I felt good about that interaction, and just like he was a godsend, and I told him, like, you're an answered prayer from God. You're a blessing. Thank you. I just want to bless you because you blessed us. And he was just like, okay, I have to receive it now. And so that was really cool. And then come to find out, it was a piece of salami or pork. TSA took it and threw it in the trash because you're not allowed to bring. So we went through whole journey for it to not even pay off. But that moment was still a highlight, a blessing. Brittany looked at me when we were at the airport. She's like, really? We made all of our friends. We went through all of that. And we had some TSA agent just grab and say, no pork. Threw it away in the trash can. Gave us a sign that said they don't want any food because, like, you know, bacteria or I don't know.
Mad cow disease
or something. Bring something back. And so, yeah, see that as a blessing. And even though it didn't turn out the way that we wanted, that, God's still working.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question because I think it would be good for our listeners to hear about. It's a story that you shared with me from your trip about a choice that you've been making kind of as a result of some of the ways that the Lord has been walking with you in your journey. But you had mentioned to me that this experience of this trip was very different for you on an anxiety level and how you were actively making certain choices to walk in faith in regards to your anxiety. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I think, you know, you've shared on the podcast and in sermons and other times with our people so about your journey with anxiety. So I thought it would be good for people to hear some of the choices that you've been making to kind of walk in faith and kind of the results of that too.
Yeah. And one way I could relate it actually to the sermon series is there is a lot of tension even walking in the way that I'm walking right now, in light and love. There's an aspect of that in the decisions that I've been making that with my wife trying to discern, figure out. But I when Pastor Dean and Carrie and Hannah were here, we had a leaders retreat. But in the kind of off hours of the retreat, there was an opportunity to have ministry time with them. And so Brittany and I decided to ask if we could have ministry time with them. And so we had a really good prayer session that covered a multitude of things. But one of the biggest things that came out of it was, and I didn't even think it was going to go that direction, but what came out of it was talking about and praying over my anxiety disorder. And so I had, like I've mentioned before, I've been dealing with a disorder and struggling with anxiety and panic attacks and dealing with bouts of different emotional things that come with it probably since I've been like 11, 12, 13. And so through it and it feels weird to say, but in the prayer session, it was for healing of it. And they declared healing over me. And one of my risks for myself to say was to declare it for myself and pray over it. And so where the tension comes in is, okay, that all took place and I received what happened in the ministry time. I am so thankful for their hearts and willingness to spend with Brittany and I and pray over and just for their wisdom and their connection with God. And after that, it was like, okay, awesome. But then now what? Right? Like, it was like, they asked me, how do you feel? And I was like, I don't feel different, but there's just a lot to process. So in the processing and in the living it out, there's a huge tension. Because that's almost where I feel like I started to get attacked by unbelief. Because it was like something took place that I want to trust in and I have belief in. Because of what I experienced, I know certain things to be true, but now living it out and in my mind, there's a tension of, well, what does that look like? And so in the process and discerning, there were a couple of things that I think that happened in July. I don't remember exactly when they came.
End of July, beginning of August.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So timeline-wise, just so that everybody knows kind of what I'm talking about, there were things after that that were coming up that I was like, oh, I know these are areas that my anxiety would typically trigger or give me a harder time. Mm-hmm. And so I take a daily medication, but there's also another medication that I take kind of preemptively that's supposed to help take the edge off more. And so in talking with my wife and trying to say, how do we steward the healing, the ministry time, the words, the living it out now that this mindset of you're healed. Like, my wife is actually a bigger advocate of like, no, you're healed, so you don't need to be like that anymore. And sometimes I'm like, it is that simple, but in my mind, there's so much that's going on because of how I've operated for so long. I can't, for some reason, I can't just like forget it almost and be like, yeah, you're right, I am healed, there's nothing wrong with me, right? There's this battle of, okay, there is a normal amount of anxiety that's normal that everybody deals with. How do you differentiate where normally you would have to like manage certain things or you would feel certain things and it would trigger, like there's all these nuances that take place. And so I appreciate her just telling me you are healed, but I'm like, okay, just let me like work, breathe and work through this. And so there've been a couple of things. We went to a Dodger game. I've seen the dentist. These are all areas where I would typically take my added medication mm-hmm. beforehand just to cut off the edge and make sure that I don't get a panic attack or I can manage things well. So flying to Italy, going to the airport, being on a plane for more than 10 hours.
Especially after the last time you were on a plane.
Oh, for sure. All of those things, very much so, I would probably have to take my medication probably multiple times on the trip. Mm-hmm. Doing different things. We had to take a boat, right? Different times. We just the unknown, being out and not just chilling in the hotel. Like there's just a lot of different new, uncomfortable, stretching experiences where would typically give me some anxiety. And so I've been battling this, not overthinking it and going with the flow, but also recognizing some of these things that I step into, they're to see the victory and to embrace it, because otherwise I can go through it and then just make up an excuse and not stand in the healing or the taking a step forward. It could very much so kind of regress in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so this trip, I decided, okay, I'm going to do my best and try not to take any of my added medication. So I didn't take it for the flight, for being at the airport. At any point, I was there. And at times, it felt weird. And at times, I could feel like am I going to be okay? Or how do I not let the anxiety creep up on me or let the doubt come in? Or there are things like that. And so, you know, Brittany is my number one support and corner I can go to and say, hey, like, I'm kind of feeling this, or, you know, she'll check in with me, hey, are you okay? And so, praise God, I didn't take one the whole time, and it's not without times of feeling uncomfortable, but it leads me to continue to stand in the belief that, like, maybe I am like healed from this. I thought it might be more of a longer process and not just like a snap of the finger, now everything's all good. But the way that it's playing out, it is a process, but maybe it's quicker than I thought it might be. And so I'm continuing to have a balance of processing it, but also just going with what God is putting in front of me and having faith that, okay, what he has for me, I'm going to continue to try to walk it out even if it feels weird or uncomfortable. And some of it is, in my eyes, taking risks. Mm-hmm. That was actually one of the words that were given to me, like, you're going to have to take some risks. So I'm like, okay, I guess this is part of it. And so, that for the trip wise, like, and I actually got to share that story and my process with the people we went with. And nice. Some of them deal with it, and they actually felt like there was a different sense of hope that they were like, oh my gosh, like, it made them feel better in a way just from the testimony of it. And I told them it's not done, like, I'm still working through it, but they said no, like, there's, they just felt a different feeling of hope and stuff. And so actually for them on the trip, they said, I haven't had to like have extra worry and certain things that would bother them. And they it was just really cool to connect with them in that way. And for me to feel like, okay, it's a little bit of a risk sharing this with them. And, but they received it well. And so it was really cool.
Yeah. I love how you're taking the steps, right? Cause there's the pattern, the past behaviors, past thought patterns that have shaped feeling those, or even anticipating like the anxiety that could be there or in the midst of it. But yet you're kind of rewiring that into, oh no, there's a different truth now. There's a different hope. And we're actually reading a book. Damon already read it. I'm in the middle of it, that Carrie recommended, called Switch On Your Brain. And it's about the power of our thinking and even rewiring. And they go into a lot. The lady that wrote it goes in, what's her name again?
Caroline Leaf. Yeah, we talked a little bit about on the episode last week too.
Yeah, but she goes into a lot of how it happens biologically, or that why it's happening, but how you can reshape your thought patterns and reshape things like that. And it's interesting because the Lord did something, but now you have to live it out. And the living it out is like, okay, what do I think about it? And am I going to take steps that actually match with that? Or am I going to go with my old way of viewing it and my old patterns? And I think it's really cool how you're seeing the new way of operating now and how much hope that brings. And
it's a total, like, I think the biggest hump is actually the rewiring of my brain.
Yeah, right.
Because physically there's not like a healing in like if your knee or your ankle, and you're like, oh, it feels better. It's like, well, you kind of won't know until you get into a situation that is uncomfortable, or you do feel anxious. And then it's like, okay, how are you going to live it out or approach it now? And how are you going to let your mind work through it? And so there's certain times where I think I've been exhausted just because I'm like trying to turn my own brain off, or trying to rewire things, or disassociate or break things that would normally be very triggering, and tell myself like my reactions, like, I don't have to react like that, oh, I'm reacting different, and like, okay, let it be, like, just go with it, you know? And so there's just this weird mental wrestling that I didn't anticipate, but it's part of the process, I guess.
You're really living out, I'm drawing a blank. Is it Romans 12 too? Or is it Hebrews? All of a sudden I'm like, wait, is it Hebrews or is it Romans? I'm like, Hebrews 12 too, like transforming your mind, right? And it is a process. And sometimes it can happen like you did earlier, snap of a finger. And the healing can happen that way, but then you're processing in your thought pattern, your behaviors, and you're like recognizing your emotions. That has to then, your brain has to take those signals differently and see that there's a different truth now behind it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I asked you to bring that story up is because as we've been talking about the brain book and going through the brain book, one of the things that she talks about is the importance of revisiting some of the areas that are triggering, because a lot of times we are living out of our like past memories, but they're not at the conscious level. They're at the subconscious level. So they're just sitting there. So kind of like in your case, it would be like with the anxiety, it's like, it's just sitting there underneath the surface. Mm. And so sometimes it's just trying to avoid situations that might bring that to the conscious level, or where it's active, triggered, right? But then what she talks about is it's important for us to take it to the conscious level, because in that space, that's where we can like change.
Mm.
That's where the change comes. It's in the conscious. And then when we put it back into the subconscious, then that's where the transformation comes, because then we're living out of this new reality. So for you to have these different experiences, like you were sharing about, like the Dodger game, going on the trip, going to these different things and having a different experience, now that's actually like something you can rely on, those new experiences versus the old ones that were the the negative ones. But you have these positive ones that you can reinforce now, this new reality of being healed. So I think it's really cool that you, like, your experience is like giving more credibility to kind of what she's talking about in the book, at least for me.
Yeah. And then the book kind of ties in with prayer ministry, because that's kind of what they kind of brought up, past things of where that anxiety started, right, with you, and then kind of brought some, I'd say closure, but like a healing to that thing that subconsciously was always there, and it was like trying to find its way up to the surface. And then it's not saying that didn't happen or that wasn't there, but to bring it and bring healing to it, and then it's not there as a trigger or like a thing that's trying to erupt. And she describes it how that's normal, and that's like a natural process that God's built into us, that we have that ability to kind of do that. Obviously, I think we need help a lot of times through like prayer ministry or things that are traumatic. We need somebody else to help us walk through it, but we have the ability to then shift that into something that was a negative to now actually can be something that's positive.
Yeah, and just last two things before, I really don't want to derail this podcast and make it all about me, but the one thing about this, I think, and just to be completely honest and vulnerable, I think one of the biggest areas of tension is having to surrender to the Lord. It's weird to say it, but having to surrender to the Lord my healing, in the sense that there's a fear, and I have a even though I like to consider it a healthy amount of doubt, there is a fear of like, well, what if you're not? Like, and more of like the disappointment in like, okay, then what did God do then? Like the unknown of almost, it's almost more like, did God not do anything, but more like my belief in God's power to be able to do this. And then if it didn't happen, then it's like a fear of like, I guess to make it simple, being let down by God. And that's like one of the biggest areas of tension, because to me, it's a continued process. Like if I had like a sprained ankle or, you know, a physical hurt, I feel like in that moment, if it was healed, it's like, it feels like there's living proof of that. And you're like, no, he did that. But in this process of it being unveiled and it taking time and still having to work through things, at moments I could wrestle with like, oh shoot, like what if you get a panic attack, or what if I've had to talk through this with like my wife and stuff. And then it's like, well, then how does that make me view the ministry time or what happened with God? And I go down this path, which to a certain degree is healthy, but to another degree it's not. And so I've just found that I have to continue to surrender that, because it is talking about hypothetical, but part of that is working on the unbelief and having faith. And so that's, I think, an area that I'm currently in. And the second thing is I have another test coming up with it, because this next time, this upcoming Sunday, I will be speaking. And for all the past times I spoke at church, I've taken, because it's difficult for me. And so for this Sunday, I plan on not taking one and seeing how that goes. So if I speak complete gibberish and nothing I make sense, then you guys can give me grace, because I'm doing it in a whole different way.
And I think the way you're describing it, it aligns with what the author talks about in the book too. And she labels it toxic thinking. Like we have these toxic thought patterns that we need to separate, because it actually ingrain themselves in like the way the brain operates, but we can redeem those and make them into like thoughts, a thought pattern that aligns with biblical truth. And not, it's not wishful thinking. It's actually, it's just like, well, what are these biblical truths that counter that type of toxic thinking? Mm. And it actually then reshapes your brain, and it actually brings that other perspective that we weren't able to have because we were operating a certain way. So, Brett, for me, we've talked about this. It's the pessimist, right, or the realist. And I honestly can look back in my life and be like, oh, I've seen myself shift away from that. And I can see, but I can see how captivating that style of thinking was, because everything was almost like self-fulfilling, or it just kept reinforcing itself. And so I was trapped in it. And I don't know, there wasn't like a time where it just broke, but I could see over time and maturity that I was able to kind of like, oh, I see things differently in my thought pattern for sure. Mm. Like I might still see maybe similar outcomes, but my thought pattern is so much more aligned with like what I think God would want versus the way I just did out of my flesh. And really it was the enemy trying to get me to be like a much more unhealthy, toxic way of approaching it. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think too, your story really kind of hits on some of the points of Pastor Barry's message this past Sunday, talking about how do we live out our faith, right? And, you know, one of the things that he was talking about was, first, we need to know who our daddy is, right? But then what does it actually look like for us to live out our faith? And there were some false teachings out there that were saying, you know, our physical body is all corrupt and our spirit is all good. And so whatever we do in our physical body doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what he's talking about was actually what we do really does matter. But then also kind of talking about how, what does it look like for us to live out our faith when we do have physical bodies that still, there are times where we sin. So what does that look like for us? Does that mean that we're still a sinner, or are we a saint, right? And so how do we walk out our faith? How do we walk out our belief? Because the enemy is going to continually try to reinforce or tell us, no, you're still a sinner. See, you sinned. You're still a sinner. And so walking out our faith and walking out our new creationness, our sainthood, those types of things, it's kind of like this journey that you're on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the things that we're talking about are ways that we're supposed to, or not supposed to, but we're trying to walk out and work out our faith and work out our salvation. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, in the Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, right? It's because we still have to work it out. It's already done, but we have to work it out so we're living out of that as opposed to living out of the old way.
Yeah, I think it highlights to me just the knowing truth versus living from that truth. Like, you can know a lot of stuff and say, oh yeah, I know that's true and I believe that. But then do your actions back it up? Mm-hmm. And do you actually live from that? And that's the hard part. I mean, it's great that we're learning more truths and we're understanding truths, but if you can't take them and actually live from them, well, then it's just knowledge. It's not anything more than that. And it's interesting. I think even my life, thinking back decades, I guess I could say, how I thought I knew, but really I just had knowledge about things, but I couldn't live from them because other things were holding me back, or there was disconnects. And there was, I mean, a big thing for me was lack of trust. Like, did I trust God? I knew about him and I knew truths, but could I trust him? Mm. And that was a big thing I had to work through. But once that got, I wouldn't say resolved, but I actually was able to have heartfelt trust for him. Oh man, it opened up a whole different level of the understanding than what I thought I knew.
Yeah, I had to meet with, or I didn't have to. I got to meet with Pastor Barry.
Did you get in trouble, Brett?
Almost. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't meet with the principal.
He wanted to meet with me because he spoke this past week, and he just wanted to make sure I'm all good for this week. And I told him, to be honest, I haven't prepped much because I've been out of town. I read over what I'm speaking on, but he said, well, it should fit you because it part of it is all about your whole be about it thing. And I'm like, yeah, it does, but in a different way. But yeah, it does speak to the whole living it out, being about it. And okay, it's not my thing. Like, I didn't invent it, all right? But I feel very challenged and encouraged by it. And so that's why I'm like, we got to do it because otherwise, what's the point? Or why are we even... learning these things or hearing these good things if it doesn't become a part of our lives and us living it out.
Yeah, and I think it just goes back to the word integrity, right? Mm. It's like, are our words and our actions matching? And if they're not, then are we recognizing what the disconnect is between the two, right? Is it we're not living out of the truth, or is it we're saying what we think other people want us to hear, or like just recognizing where some of those disconnects are so that we can be about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the goals that the Lord has for each one of us, is that we can live this out in a way that has integrity. Kyle's pointing at me.
Oh no, go to the next point. Like, you have Pastor Barry's notes in front of you, so.
Well, I mean, so this week, a lot of it was about, you know, he was talking about who our daddy is and how important mm-hmm. that is, and how important it is for us to actually live out of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the stories that he shared was a pastor at Bethel, and when he adopted his son, and, you know, when he adopted his son still continued to live as if he was an mm-hmm. orphan, and it took time to work that out for him to work out his sonship and what it looks like to live as part of this family. So, you know, it just feels like all of these things are a similar vein. It's mm-hmm. a lot of it is just working out our salvation, working out this new identity. What does it look like for Brett in his story? What does it look like for me to work out my healing? Mm-hmm. Right. And so for each one of us, we have to look at the different areas that the Lord is asking us to work out in this season. Right. And so for some, it might be, you know, am I a sinner or am I a saint? For some, it might be a specific illness or something that needs to be healed. For some, it might be a certain addiction, like Cameron was sharing about his testimony about working out his abstinence from alcohol, mm-hmm. right? And so for each one of us, it might be something different, but the Lord is taking us on this journey to work out our salvation.
One thing that just came to mind that I like about this, and maybe it is because I do like the whole living it out, be about it, is sometimes we, in a kind of in an inversely way, we want to have things our way or control it. Mm. And sometimes it's hard for us to relinquish to God or to surrender things to Him because we want to be in control. I think there's a part of it that I like having to live it out or to be about it, is because in one paradigm you could look at it as like you don't get a say and you don't have control, mm-hmm. but I think the actual paradigm that God and John wants us to know is like, no, there is a lot that you have to do, mm-hmm. right? I think we either feel like, okay, it's either I'm in control or God's completely in control, and then it's like this passive, like mm-hmm. I can't dictate anything, mm-hmm. but really it's like you trust God, but He also gives you the opportunity to step into these things, and that's under your control. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I think I maybe just now realize part of what I like about it is I do like the control aspect of it. There's a negative side to it, but the side of, you know, trying to see how you respond and react to situations, how you walk in areas of tension, how you, you know, live out your life, you have to make a lot of choices that are under your control that God gives you. And so to say that you don't have any control or you struggle with control, I feel like this is the flip side or kind of like the healthy side of what it looks like when, yeah, God is fully in control, but it doesn't mean that you lack any ability to make a decision or be active in what God is doing in your life. It's not like you're just taking a free ride and you don't get to pick anything. Mm. It's like, no, you get to dictate certain things. And if you're aligned with God, that's the biggest thing. Then the things that you choose, you see how they're more aligned with the things that God wants for you.
Mm. Yeah. It's what we, you know, deal with as parents with young kids. You have to give them choices, or you want to give them choices. But it's funny, it's not just when you're a kid, it's all throughout life. Mm. But as we get older, then you get that. I mean, I think it's there when you're a kid too, but I want choices that please me, or I want my kind of outcome. But then the Christian journey, it's like there's aspects of that, yes, that God wants us to enjoy things, but it's more from a place of like, okay, God, what do you want me, like, what do you have for me? What do you want me to enjoy? And I think that was like part of what I struggled with the trust part early on was like, but what if I do fully trust him, what if he just wants a hard life for me? Like that, I don't know if I want that, right? And then it's like, well, does that really match his character? Does he really want that for me? It doesn't mean that hard things might not come my way, but is that really him? And is that really, if I'm surrendering, that he's going to just punish me that way? So it is interesting how that the whole choice thing just follows us like for this whole side of heaven, because we're always, like you said, Damon, we're working out our salvation, but all of that working out is a choice. Like are we aligned, choices that align with God or choices that, you know, steer us away? Like what kind of boundaries do we have in place?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, kind of coming off of the retreat also, that's an area that the enemy wants us to kind of feel trapped in, is that we don't have, or wants us to give up our free will and our choice, right? Mm-hmm. That we're stuck, that we're a victim of our circumstances, that we don't really have choices that matter. But I think that's one of the things that the Lord wants us to know, is that we do have the ability to choose. Could be our learning how to choose to respond in the right way to different circumstances. But we are powerful people, as Danny Silk likes to say, and we need to own that aspect of it, that we are powerful people and we have the ability to choose and make some of these choices. So to me, it's just really encouraging some of the choices that people are making, like Cameron choosing, like Brett, the choices that you're making, you know, and kind of in reference to some of the things that Cameron was sharing about, it's really cool to see how the Lord has honored some of the choices that he's been making, right? And so with his time, right, and you shared about the way that he's been using his time is very different. He's making different choices with his time. But then the Lord has been giving him these kind of revelations with the new ways that he's been using his time. And that's going to actually benefit our church, because some of the things that he's been using his time on are actually going to be things that hopefully we'll be seeing some of the fruit of next year with our kids and some of the things that he's going to be leading them in this upcoming year. So it's cool to see just how some of these choices, they might just seem like, oh, I'm just making this choice for me for right now, but the Lord is using that choice to do something bigger, and it's really cool to see that too.
Yeah, I think the whole victim mentality, right, that's something the enemy really tugs and tries to put in, kind of embed in us, like, well, you're a victim of this, and there's excuses. And the reason I bring it up is because I think in the book, she talks about like even predispositions, like people can say, well, your genes or whatever, you're predisposed for this or that. And she said, like, correct me if I'm wrong, like how I'm describing it, Damon, but she's like, but that's all that stuff even can be rewired too. It's not like a set pattern that it is predisposed, you're disposed to it or whatever, but it's not that it's a factual requirement that that's the way it's going to go. And then even as you develop that, and then it's even how it passes down then to the next generations. If you're able to rewire certain things, your genes actually can be kind of transformed and healed. And like that's really cool how God has that built in. But then that affects the people after you too. So if you work on your stuff, that's actually shifting things. But yeah, I think that the victim mentality is has such a pull and tug on people, and rightly so. I mean, I've lived in that sense, and I know it feels kind of good, because there's an excuse, there's a reason, but really it's like, oh, but what are you going to do about it? How are you going to shift it and alter it?
And even that phrase, like working out your salvation, or what you're talking about, like it doesn't say that you have it all figured out and it's just laid out. Like working it out means trial and error. It means effort. Working out is difficult sometimes. There's resistance. You got to get stronger. Like
you get sore from physical working out. So
yeah, in Italy, taking 30,000 steps, you don't want to walk no more. Well, you got to get up the next day, right? And so in the same thing in working it out is like, you got to go at it, and then it doesn't mean it's done. You got to go at it again. And I think that's something that I really admire and look up to, like you guys and Pastor Barry and just our staff, in that nobody acts like they have it all completely figured out. People might be steps ahead, but they want to share with others so that they can walk with them. And it shows in like Pastor Barry's humility, in our staff's willingness to admit, hey, I don't have it all figured out. I'm only one step ahead, or whatever it is. And I think there is real power and strength in that, in being able to recognize that and know that you're still working it out. In a way, it doesn't keep you, quote unquote, content with God, right? Mm. We're always asking God for more, and that's one way, is to continue to work on it rather than just say, I'm all good right here and I'm done, because God does have so much more for us, and that's why it's a continued process.
Yeah, I think that's where it's important for us to have that mentality of like wanting more also, right? Because I think it's easy to be content with the things of this world or the ways of this world, as Kyle had described it in his sermon, right? Mm-hmm. There's a way that the world works, and it's easy for us to get caught up in that, but the Lord wants more for us. And so for us to want that as well, you know, and I think sometimes it's just easy, like, oh, my life is okay. Everything's okay. And part of it's just because of where we live and the circumstances around, you know, living in Southern California. The weather's pretty nice most of the time, except for today. And we are recording this on Tuesday when it's pouring. But, you know, like, we're pretty blessed to be living where we're living and to be able to do what we do. And so it can be very easy for us to be content with the ways of this world because it's working for us. But the Lord wants more for us so that we can pour out more for and bless other people too. And so it's not just for us, but it's for others. So I think that's part of it, is just to, you know, kind of like in the pride this week, we talked about Jacob wrestling with God. And one of the things that happened in that story is that when Jacob was wrestling with God, he wouldn't let go until God was going to bless him, right? So he's like, I'm not letting you go. God was like, let me go. And he's like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, right? And because he wanted more, right? And so for us to continue to have that kind of disposition of like, no, I want to pursue the Lord more because I know he wants more for me.
It's funny that you say that, because sometimes I've been in situations where I've either been told like, well, you're building character or da 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 da, and there's certain times where I'm like, this is what it's going to take. I don't know if I want more.
I got enough character.
But it's cool too right now. Like, I mean, even you sharing your story with your friends on your trip, right? And it's seeing like where you are now and the character that you've developed, it's actually pouring out onto these other people, and they're being blessed with hope with these things because of the ways that you've been continually developing that character and not giving up.
I don't want to get off target, but like Damon, when you brought up being blessed in Southern California, it's like, it's funny because I think it makes us
soft.
Weak. Soft. That's the word. That's the word. I'm like weak, lazy. I'm like, no, it's soft, right? Like, we're not used to having to like push through blizzards or have major power outages that last a couple of days, and there's storms and there's hurricanes, there's tornadoes. I mean, okay, we have earthquakes, but they're not very, very often. But really, it's like we don't get pushed by nature, by natural circumstances very much, because our culture and our climate is very temperate, and it's like it's pretty, that's why a lot of people live here. I mean, it's good, but I can see just how in the sense too, like that makes us like soft, like in spiritual realm as well, or even us as the United States versus other countries that are, it's like we're soft because of that kind of thing, like because we have life easy in a sense compared to a lot of other parts. So just a reminder, like, yeah, it is good where we live. It's good to have that stuff. I appreciate it, but it has a dark side, so to speak, in that it's very subtle, but it can bring in that sense of like over-reliance or content. What's the word? I don't know, just life gets too simple and too easy where you don't even need God. You don't need dependence on him.
Yeah, we might be in California and be soft, but we can't lose our edge.
That's right, man. Gotta have some edge, Brett.
That just reminds me, this is totally off topic, but it reminds me of Kobe in that film practice when he was yelling at his players and he says, y'all are soft like Charmin. He started calling them toilet paper. Y'all are soft. I'm just like, oh, dang.
Pretty sure there was a lot more colorful language going on there, but
I'll keep it for the podcast.
There you go. Yeah.
But I think that's one of the things for us to think about. And that's one of the difficult things as a church is how do we motivate people that they don't need God to live their life, right? It's
right.
Things are easy enough. Things are not dire where there's a need, right? Like if we think about time, like biblical times or things where it was more agrarian, like if there's no rain, how do they live, right? We can pump in water nowadays from Northern California to get it, even though we're living in the desert, we can pump in water, we can get things. But back then it's like, oh, if God doesn't provide the rain, then they don't eat.
Yeah.
If they don't eat, they don't live, right? And so
or you have to pack up and move or something drastic like that.
So they're desperate. There's a desperation level, a need to have that type of relationship with God. Or, I mean, that's why they would also try to find other gods, right? Because they know that there's something that they need that they can't provide for themselves. Mm. Where nowadays, like, society's made it so that we're not in that place anymore. Mm. And so I think that's one of the difficult parts of being a part on staff at church is how do we help to motivate people to seek after the Lord when they can live their life okay and feel okay without. Yeah.
All right, church, we're heading to the woods.
No, I think maybe another aspect of that is even when things show up for people and they ask for prayer, and there could be sometimes where I feel conviction, like, I don't know if they need healing right now. They actually need this difficult situation because they need to go through the hard stuff because of that. Because it's like life has gotten too comfortable, too easy. And I'm not saying that happens all the time, but it's a tough place to see that, man, I think you actually need this. As hard as I know it is for you, like, this is actually probably maybe the best thing for you. And it's like, oh, man, that feels so hard to even recognize that or even verbalize it. But I'm like, I can look back at hard times that I had, like, oh, if that would have got taken away, oh, wow, I would have stayed so much softer and I wouldn't have learned what I needed, right? And so it's tough. Like, there's the desire for everything. You want everybody to feel better and everybody to be healed and everybody to, you know, like, have those victories. But there's certain times where it's like, yeah, but it's not your season yet or it's not time. And
I mean, that reminds me of the Lazarus story too, right? It's like,
oh yeah, right.
Jesus waited before he went to go to be with Lazarus and his sisters, right? He could have gone and healed him right away, but he waited.
He didn't even have to go. He could have done it from where he was.
Like the centurion, right? Or so he could have done it from where he was, but he waited. Lazarus died, and then that's when he went.
Right.
And he called him out of the tomb. There, I finished the story. He called him out of the tomb. But I mean, so in a similar way, Kyle, like you're saying that sometimes it feels like the Lord has asked you or told you, like, now's not the time for them to be healed because they need something different, right? Mm-hmm. And so in that situation, it's like that's where we also have to choose to surrender what we want to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, well, you know what's best and what this person actually needs.
All right, Brett, you're laughing when I was saying that. All right, what?
I'm just thinking, so if you go up to Kyle for prayer and he doesn't explicitly pray for what you're asking for healing, that's him nicely saying, God might be saying you need this.
No, he's explicitly told me that before. I asked him for prayer for something and he's like, the Lord, I don't think he wants to heal you right now. And it actually turned out really good.
It turned out really good, right?
Yeah, it turned out really good.
But there's times where I've prayed because I feel like they just need it. In the moment, it's too awkward not to. But there's in me, it's like, oh, yeah, but I'm not sure if this is the right timing. And it's hard when you hear that kind of stuff.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
It's But to me, what that also speaks to is how God can use everything for your good.
Right.
He doesn't saying that everything is good. He's saying that even in these things, even if you wait a couple days, goodness can still come outside of it. And And actually, our small group, we're going through emotionally healthy spirituality. Mm. And one of the biggest parts that I took from the book in recognizing how to help people, or just even when I'm hearing people, when they share, you get to that place where like you need something outside of yourself. Mm. And you don't get to that place sometimes unless something forces you there, or you get to a place where you're like, I've tried this, you've exhausted all these options. And now it's kind of like, you needed to go through that to reach outside of yourself. And that's a lot of times where people find God is because now they're getting out of their own way and they're crying out for something more. And so I have been through it and understand that sometimes there's things that you don't know why. We don't know why we go through. Part of it's just the fallen world or whatever, but trusting that, okay, God still can use this for my good. I have been on the other end of some of those things, praise the Lord. And so, yeah, it's a part of us working out our sanctification and whatnot.
I mean, I think that's why in the Lazarus story, John a few times says, you know, the one that you love is sick, right? And it is referring to Lazarus, but I think he's referring to more than just Lazarus in that story. So think about it. Okay, so think about it. If you're Lazarus, right, and you're like, die, and you've been in the tomb for 4 days, and then you come back after Jesus calls you out, if I was Lazarus, the first question would be like, bro, why did you let me die first, right? Like, right? Like, why did you let that happen, right? But kind of like you're saying, Brett, it's like sometimes you need to get to that place where, like, it can't be you. Like, you need something, right? And so sometimes the Lord lets us go there because then we get to that place where it's like, no, I need something more than what I can provide on my own.
Or I think an even harder one than that is like, yeah, because other people needed that. It's like, well, why did I have to be the one?
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, yeah, but I want that for them too. But I think the one thing I want to caution is like, I'm not saying don't go up and ask for prayer too.
I did not mean that by my joke. Yeah. Still go to Kyle if you need prayer.
But it's actually, even when you go up, it's like having that pliable heart of like, if this is what God wants, I want healing from this, but what do I need, and what is there something else beside what I'm seeing or feeling?
Yeah. Oh, even harder to the Lazarus story. Okay. And this is not for all situations, but figuratively, sometimes you need to die. Mm. Like there's certain things that needs to die so that God can do what he's going to do. Not saying that he can't do it otherwise.
So not you die, but parts inside
But I think that's also where in Mary and Martha, in their interactions with Jesus, it shows kind of like what Kyle was talking about, having that pliable heart, right? Because they both came up to him and said, Jesus, you know, we called you. Why didn't you come sooner? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could have healed him, but whatever your will is, right? And so they shared with him their heart, but at the same time, they were also pliable and they're willing to accept like, okay, Jesus, you know more what's going on than we do.
Yeah.
And
your thoughts are higher than my thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's good. I mean, we got off on a little bit of a tangent, but I think it still ties in with how we're operating with and or in the world, and even trying to stand against the worldly ways, the worldly system. It it takes that kind of approach of like, either I need help to do it, so I need to be willing to admit that, hey, I need somebody to help me stay accountable, or I need insight, I need wisdom from other people, or just even putting your heart bare before the Lord, like what parts of my heart need to die? What parts of my heart are actually barriers to me receiving from you or experiencing you? And it's not easy places, but I think I'm happy for series like this because I think it helps to bring awareness and in like some introspection of, oh shoot, okay, I got some work to do. These are areas I want to have victory over.
I'm discerning if I give a sneak peek into what I might be talking about. But I also don't want to say it, and then God be like, no, you're supposed to talk about this. And I have to go
but
back.
But then that's even better because you're not repeating yourself.
I know, because then on Sunday you can say, well, I was going to say this. I even mentioned it on the podcast, but God took me a different direction.
Well, the other question is, are you going to be back next week to help us debrief your sermon or not?
I can.
We can do a night session, maybe.
Well, it's not so. I'm willing to make the time. It's not so much that. It's more like, not that what I'm talking about has already been spoken on, but to a certain degree, it has a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, maybe there'll be a ton more that's like, I didn't get to say this, or there's questions, or we could elaborate, but I think that's more why I'm not sure, but I'm more than willing to.
All right. You're going to give a little teaser.
Well, I was going to say, and you talking about like others and whatnot, part of it is in the complexity of just working things out yourself. There's a whole nother complexity when it's doing it with others
in relationships.
Yeah. And so I think that the main thing that John is talking about in this next section that I'm talking about, one of the big themes, because you can kind of talk about different things, is walking in, what is it? Love and light and love, walking in light and love in relationships. Mm. And so, I'll just leave it at that.
That's a pretty good teaser, actually.
I'd be talking about relationships in certain ways. And I do feel like it's on my heart. God has put on my heart, because he addressed certain things in myself, to might be pushing some buttons with some people, because when it comes to relationships, there's a whole gamut. And so there's definitely some that just like to dig under our skin. And so have to address some of that stuff.
So basically you're saying, after you're done with your message, one of your action steps, or maybe triage options, is gonna, Mimo's gonna have another emotional healthy relationship class. You need to take it.
Yeah. No, I've been debating and praying. I even asked Brittany, like, should I ask Mimo to like either share something or something or other? But I'm definitely going to highlight her class and say that she has tools and resources, and people have taken that class where it's helped them.
Okay, so I talked to somebody from your small group who took it, and now you're doing the emotion healthy spirituality.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, oh, the way they feed off each other, he's like, it makes me want to take that class again, because he's getting more understanding. So now he's like, oh, now I want to be able to go through that material again, so because I have a better understanding. So, no, it's good. I'm glad you guys are doing that in your small group.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up to Mimo too at some point. Like, okay, I'd potentially be willing to like work with you, and if she continues to do it, or do something where that's offered to, because I feel like it does give a good basic foundation, and then I feel like that one could add so much more. So, but yeah, so we'll see what happens this Sunday.
All right.
If God continues to lead me in that direction, but as of now,
Everybody's coming in with a pure heart, Brett, and they're all going to be pliable, and so it's going to be good.
not that saying my teaser that anyone's on the edge of their speech. I can't wait to see. Not that anyone feels that way. So it's just, yeah, we'll see where
bring
it goes.
Bring some zingers. Bring some zingers.
There might be some. I might.
And if you're using me as an example for a toxic relationship, you can code name me Dewey or something like that.
No, it's nobody here. It's nobody here.
Dewey. Oh, yeah. I can't like that. Okay.
Riley's been making me watch a lot of DuckTales.
I know. So. You're Dewey, I'm Louie. Yeah. What's the other one?
Huey.
Yeah.
No, if I'm going to go there, I have no problem sharing my own stuff. I will just have to get the permission of maybe the other people involved if I can bring it up.
If you want to use me, that's fine. Just code name me.
Oh, no.
You could say the names have been changed to protect.
He's not doing code names. He's going full exposure.
All right, well, we're running up on time, so we don't want to keep Brett too long, because we want him to come back. any last closing thoughts, Brett, for, since it has been a while?
I'll jump in and give you the time to think real quick. But I was saying to Pastor Barry, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but on the podcast, that, yeah, First John, I always had this idea of like, yeah, there's so much about love, and it felt so warm and like, oh, this is such a, and I'm like, oh yeah, it'd be good for us to go through that book. And then as we're digging through it, and I spoke on a part, it's like, oh shoot, like he brings it. Like it's not warm and fuzzy, but it's interesting, because if you read it and you want the warm and fuzzy, it's there. But then you're only getting part of it. So I'm like, oh, have I done that in the past where I've been more going, or when I read through it, I'm picking up on the warm and fuzzy, but like, oh, there's so much more about, dude, don't fall into the ways of the world. And it's very like, so I get when he's addressing the Gnostics, I'm like, oh, he needed to be very like confrontational, so to speak. And I'm like, oh, we need that in our society too. Cause like it's so slippery to just fall into the patterns of the world. I'm like, wow, this has been a much more intense, book study that I was anticipating when we talked about it in the summer.
I know, because even when I was previewing and looking at when he asked me, can you speak on this one?
Yeah, yeah.
I just looked at the like the subtitle in the Bible thing and it said more on love and hate. And I was just like, okay, we're going there. But I think, you know, one thing that I liked that stood out to me that I feel like is empowering and what Pastor Barry shared, it was just a quick sentence, but he just said like, what you do matters. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we think about God and salvation and the kind of end goal of everything, mm-hmm. we can kind of boil it down and ask the question, well, what does it really matter mm-hmm. then if I'm mm-hmm. saved or if I've committed my, like, mm-hmm. what does me being nice to somebody, what does that actually do, right? Mm-hmm. But understanding what you do actually matters, it's like, okay, that empowers you to be responsible and a powerful person because it does matter. There is something that comes with it. It's not for nothing. Mm-hmm. And so even though we're learning to walk in this tension of light and love, like how you choose to do that, how you live and what you do, like it matters.
Well, I think it's kind of to piggyback off that, it's like even making the choice to walk it out matters, right? To live it out, to that's a choice too, mm-hmm. right? We can always just choose, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want now, right? Mm-hmm. But to choose to work out our salvation, that's a choice and it definitely matters. And it's cool to see some of the testimonies that we talked about earlier, how the Lord has been honoring some of those choices and what he's doing with it already. So mm-hmm. I know he's got more to come and we know that Brett has more to say. So we're excited to hear him give the message this Sunday. And for all of you guys listening out there, give Brett some encouragement when you see him on Sunday. We're excited to see.
Well, this Sunday is actually one of the messages where I feel like, I don't know if I have that much to say, actually. Hopefully God's word does all the talking, but yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's good to have you back here too, man. Mm-hmm. It's been a void. I don't know, that guy over there, I don't know, he doesn't bring the same life that you do, so... I like, it's funny because me and Damon talk a lot. Like, so we'll talk about different things. So I'm like, to do it on another podcast, like, I feel like we do it all the time. So I'm like, it's nice to have a third voice.
It's always nice to have a third voice.
Because then
sure.
It's like, it's not that I don't like hearing what he has to say, but like, we've kind of already talked about it. So I feel like, man, I want to hear new stuff and like new perspectives.
So now what you're saying is instead of a podcast, you guys need to have one of those things where you guys are just recording your conversations more often. So it's just a... all the time.
No, I don't want to do that. No, but it's good to have you. And yeah, hopefully we'll keep having some more new voices come on.
Yeah, we need to have some more new voices. So yeah. If you're out there and you haven't been on the podcast yet, reach out to us. If not, we're just going to start asking people.
Or that, we're just going to start talking about people on the podcast.
All right. Well, thanks again, Brett, for coming on. We're excited to hear what you have to share with us on Sunday and excited to have you back soon, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
We appreciate all you for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.